produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. And as always, it seems as the days go by, each week is more incredible than the last. Needless to say, all of us have been captivated by the national and international worldwide crisis that we face with this coronavirus pandemic. And certainly a lot of lives have been significantly impacted. It's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy several weeks, in fact. And so today I would like to talk a little bit about overcoming fear with faith. Now, obviously, there's a lot going on that can be contributing to our having issues of concern and fear. One, of course, whether we're going to catch the virus and what impact that will have on our health. The effects it might have on other people's health, and of course, the economic ramifications of all this, with companies having to shut down, people being laid off from their employment, loss of wages, loss of business income, for those who are retired or looking to retire with investments in the stock market, with 401k plans, or retirees living off of IRAs that are invested in the stock market with mutual funds. The last week and a half, 2 weeks has been catastrophic, with a 33% or more loss in value at the stock market. I know we have an IRA, an individual retirement account, and each time I go in and look at the new balance, I just get a little bit, you know, sick at my stomach when I think about what has happened just in such a short period of time. But you know, as I have learned through life, no matter how dark it seems, no matter how bad it seems, it will get better. It always does. There's never been a time that it doesn't get better. I don't care how bad the situation looks, whether as a world, as a nation, as a state, as a community, as a family, or as individuals, it matters not how bad the current situation looks. It always gets better. And I believe that with faith, that getting better process becomes a lot easier. Now, in times like this, a lot of times we need to be mindful of what is it I can do as an individual? What can we do as families to be strong, to be courageous, and do the things that will help us get through this crisis? And it brought me to a remembrance of a poem that I heard a number of years ago entitled Invictus. This poem was written by a gentleman by the name of William Ernst Henley, who lived from 1849 to 1903. And it might be interesting to note that he wrote this when he was 27 years old. He'd been battling tuberculosis of the bone for several years and actually had lost a leg, and it eventually killed him at the age of 53. Now, of note is the fact that he was an avowed atheist, so needless to say, the only place that he could look for strength was himself. He didn't believe that there was a larger purpose to all that pain and suffering. It was just the bludgeonings of chance, if you will. His only hope was to take his bludgeonings like a man, which to him meant a stoic resolve never to surrender. And so here I will quote his poem, Invictus. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Strong words, but one might say perhaps a delusional fantasy, perhaps. Think about it. Now, this poem has inspired a lot of people over the years. Famous and infamous alike have drawn courage from it. Nelson Mandela recited it on his darker days in prison. And even the infamous Timothy McVeigh invoked it as he received a lethal injection for the murder of 167 people in the Oklahoma City bombing. So in this instance, this poem has obviously captured the imagination of a lot of people. But I believe that there's a significant missing element. And there, interestingly enough, was another poem written sometime later in the early part of this 20th century by Dorothy Day, responding to Henley's manifesto with the poem entitled Concord. So here goes her poem of Concord. Out of the light that dazzles me, bright as the sun from pole to pole, I thank the God I know to be, for Christ the conqueror of my soul. Since his the sway of circumstance, I would not wince nor cry aloud. Under the rule which men call chance, my head with joy is humbly bowed. Beyond this place of sin and tears, that life with him and his the aid, that spite the menace of the years, keeps and will keep me unafraid. I have no fear through the strait. I have no fear though the strait the gate. He cleared from punishment the scroll. Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. Let me repeat those last two lines. Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. So the incredible good news is that in Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, we are more than conquerors. Ours is not a stoic resolve against mindless evil. Ours is a hope-infused, courageous resolve to come, because what somewhat may, the end will be glorious beyond all comparisons. We can read that in Romans. If Christ is the master of our fates, the captain of our souls, we have nothing to fear, as found in 1 John 4:18. We will be sustained to the end with our scroll reading guiltless. All will work together for our good. Though we die, yet shall we live. So, you might say, to have an invictus soul is not heroic. It is unbounded foolishness. But to have a soul conquered by the greatest love that exists, that then by God's grace can withstand the worst that evil can throw at us and be more than conquerors, and then know eternal joy, that is a life worth living. So, here we are. We're faced with this coronavirus, COVID-19. And so consequently, we have to be mindful that we can't do this all on our own. Growing up as a kid in our home, in my bedroom, was a picture of a young man at the steering wheel, if you will, of a ship, and standing beside him and behind him is depicted the Savior himself. That picture, that image, was the last thing that I would see each night before I would turn out the light to go to bed. That epitomizes this phrase, Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. Now, how do we overcome fear? As we said earlier in the program, there's a lot going on right now that many, many people are very fearful of. And it's my prayer that each of us will be mindful and prayerful of those who lead our nation, our states, our communities, that will be petitioning Heavenly Father to inspire them and guide them to make correct decisions, that we will pray for the protection of our first responders, our law enforcement, and for the great people that serve in the medical community, the doctors, the nurses, and all the support staff that make medical treatment possible. May we fast and pray on their behalf for their protection. And may we do our part to obey the laws of the land and to obey the directions that we've been given to not be out and about unnecessarily and potentially exposing ourselves to this virus or exposing others to it. You know, faith is one of the more challenging concepts of Christianity, because it can't be scientifically measured or stored in a bottle to be pulled out as needed. Many people either don't believe in it or don't know how to access it. Now, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I have found that faith is built, you know, the church itself is built on a strong foundation of faith. And we as members are taught from the earliest remembrance to develop our faith and then to use it to gain a testimony of the gospel and to help us through those challenging times without fear. Now, there's a scripture that I'll paraphrase out of one of the Latter-day Saint scriptures known as the Doctrine and Covenants, where it says, if ye are prepared, ye need not be afraid. If you're prepared, you don't need to be afraid. I'm paraphrasing. Now, this particular scripture was given to the prophet Joseph Smith. It was delivered at a conference of the church in which the people were told to go to Ohio. Now, how does that apply to us in our everyday living? Well, if we are prepared, we don't need to be afraid. As Latter-day Saints, we have, from the time we joined the church in 1975 and for years prior to that, we've been given counsel by our leaders to have a supply of food beyond just our regular consumption in a few days or weeks, to have other necessities stored up in case of a rainy day or an emergency, to have things like a 72-hour emergency kit, keep a store of water, and other essentials, which I might humorously add, might also include toilet paper, which seems to be a scarce commodity in the current crisis that we face. So as Latter-day Saints, those who have heeded the counsel that's been given for decades by the leaders of the church, most members have found themselves to be prepared with the essentials of life and then some. And so consequently, if ye are prepared, ye need not be afraid. We have seen that. We've experienced that. and it is a great blessing, to help mitigate one area of concern that can cause fear. Well, let's say we aren't totally prepared, and let's say we are lacking in some things. Well, there's always the present time to prepare where and when and how we can, but there's a more important aspect to how we prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves temporarily, if you will, by these commodities that we need, but it's also important to prepare ourselves spiritually. Frequently, as a bishop, I've had individuals who might come to me with an issue or a problem, whether it be a marital problem, a financial problem, perhaps an issue with some form of addiction. And in every instance, no matter what the problem was, when I would ask a couple of simple questions, the answer from every single person has always been a resounding no. And those two questions typically would follow this format. Are you studying the scriptures on a regular basis? And the answer was always no. The second question, are you praying earnestly on a regular basis? And in every instance, the answer has always been no. Now, obviously, praying regularly, studying our scriptures regularly, those acts don't eliminate problems. But what it does do is it prepares us to deal with those problems in a better way. I would frequently add a question to this process, and the reaction typically would be rather humorous at times. But I would ask the individual, and I would ask you, if I were to give you a challenge to go for the entire next week, 7 days without eating any food, would you fast for 7 days consecutively and refrain from eating any food whatsoever? And you can imagine the response that I have gotten when I've asked that question. Are you crazy? Well, no, of course not. Well, just as you should not and would not deprive yourself of physical food for 7 days, I would then ask, why are you depriving yourself of spiritual food for extended periods of time? When you're not studying the scriptures, when you're not praying and communicating with Heavenly Father. So faith, which there's a great phrase, it's a title of a book written by one of the prophets of our church, presidents of our church. Faith precedes the miracle, or the miracle of faith. Now, how do we go about overcoming fear? Well, you know, we don't need to fear. And it doesn't mean that we don't sometimes fear because we have reasons to worry. But we don't need to fear. Now, frequently we choose to be fearful or afraid. And here's the bottom line. God, Heavenly Father, believes in agency. He has given us the right to choose, and we can choose whether to approach life fearfully or faithfully. Fear is a choice, and it was what many individuals choose in difficult situations. It is sometimes said that faith is the opposite of fear. When we're afraid, we aren't completely putting the situation into God's hands and trusting in Him, are we? What we attempt to keep in our minds when we're trying to overcome fear with faith is remembering that God sees the entire picture, whereas I only see a small bit of it. He is looking at life from an eternal perspective, and that is a key to success in life in overcoming trials and tribulations, is to gain on a personal level an eternal perspective. I've often commented and noted my life and in talking with others that the mountain that we face today, down the road, when we look back on it, we kind of laugh and think of it more as a molehill and not as a mountain. But when we have the ability to have that perspective of seeing the big picture, an eternal perspective, we'll recognize that our challenges of today are not necessarily the end of the world, not total doom and gloom, but as I said at the beginning of the program, it will get better. Now, again, just because we have faith doesn't mean we'll never have any problems. The story of the world isn't just about us. It involves everyone who lives on Earth at any time. Everything that happens impacts many different lives, all with different needs and plans. And God, you know, imagine this. God must juggle all those lives. In addition, people have their agency. It's a critical part of God's plan for us that we are, that we're given the right to make decisions. Those decisions affect not only our lives, but they also affect others who had no control over our decisions. We can choose our actions, but we can't choose the consequences, nor can we choose who else will be impacted by our decisions. Sometimes our trials are caused by our own decisions and sometimes by the decisions of others. In addition, some things just happen and no one is to blame, as in the case of severe weather or illness, or in this instance, the coronavirus. Who do we blame? Sometimes God sends trials to help us learn something important. It can help to remember that even Jesus experienced extraordinary levels of suffering despite living a perfect life. Trials are simply a part of every life, everyday life. Now, you know, having trials doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. He is always in charge. While he may not always step in to protect us from our own choices or even from the choices of others, he does have a master plan for all of us and for each of us individually. The events that occur might not be the ones he would choose if he were micromanaging us, but he will not allow them to derail his overall plan for us. This means that God is still in charge, and even when tragedy or trial occurs, we are still inside the master plan, and we will be fine in the eternal scheme of things. Because remember, it always gets better. We can't always control what happens to us, but we can choose our reactions to those events and what happens to us. This power to choose is why two people can face the same trials and come out with different results. For example, you know, one person might experience prejudice or poverty growing up, and then will spend his life angry and using this as an excuse, while another will use it to become stronger and overcome the challenges that life has given him or her, or go through them with a cheerful attitude. One person with an illness will become demanding and discouraged, while another, perhaps after a natural time of grieving, will go on to uplift and strengthen others through their example and courage. Think about this. One person loses their job and wastes priceless hours blaming his boss, the economy, the government, or anyone else who comes to mind, the virus, while another uses the time to start his own business or upgrade his skills. Having faith in Jesus Christ can help us turn away fear. The more we trust God and Jesus Christ to watch over us and to help us get through our trials, the less frightened we will be by those experiences. We need to prepare ourselves for possible trials, physically, mentally, and spiritually. The best time to build a loving relationship with God and to learn to trust Him is before the trial, not during it. This way, we come into the trials knowing how God interacts in our lives. We have a tradition of obedience that allows us to receive his greatest gifts, and we know how to recognize his hand in our lives. We learned how to get answers to our questions and to feel the comfort he sends us. So, as I mentioned earlier, the keys in conclusion. We should put aside each day some time to read Scripture, not just racing through them to meet a goal, but reading them slowly and thoughtfully. Now, with a lot of people having to stay indoors, stay out of workplaces, they've got a lot of time on their hands. This would be a great time to read the Bible or other Scriptures and to study them and to learn them and to become a student and a master of study of the Scriptures. Also, we need to put time into prayer, and not just the ritual repetition of words, but a meaningful discussion with God, followed by quiet and patience as we wait for answers. If we leap up and go back to everyday life, we may miss the gentle inspiration that follows. You know, in a conversation with another person, when you ask a question, what do? You wait for the answer before leaving the conversation. Prayer requires the same courtesy. We should act as though we expect God to answer our question. This is faith. Well, you know, no matter how few people might be in our life at any given moment, we never have to go through trials and tribulations alone. I have found it very helpful to try to figure out what God is trying to teach me when I'm facing a trial. And as a result, many times the things that we fear seem much less significant. Nervousness or concern is natural. But paralyzing fear can frequently be overcome through faith. The more often we recognize God's hand in our lives, the easier it will be to trust him during the next trial. Every trial we handle with faith strengthens our ability to do it even better the next time. So in conclusion, my friends, I would propose to you and testify to you that we shall overcome this trial that we are faced with, and that with faith in our Father in heaven and in his Son, Jesus Christ, we shall overcome. And through that faith that we have, we can eliminate fear. Because remember, it always gets better. This I testify in the holy and sacred name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. 850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.